Radio.com.
This is Rob Van Dam. You are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio, boo.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment, Wrestle Talk Radio. Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
This is the Rated R superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a.
I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? Huh? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake.
With your host, Tim Stein.
Do try the chips.
Omega.
It really is. It's a screwdriver. It's Sonic.
Mace.
I'm not just the Time Lord. I'm the last of the Time Lords.
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
Excuse me, do you mind not farting while I'm staying in the woods?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It's another week of wrestling news. We're leading up to WrestleMania now, and we have things to discuss. And I have this thing.
Hence the intro.
Thank you, Rock.
You're welcome.
I am the Omega, the Be-All, End-All of our little network. Joining me tonight, we have Mace.
Sir, I am the last of the Time Lords. How dare you take my screwdriver?
Well, it's just so nice.
I know, right?
So I didn't take yours.
Of course not. They can always make duplicates. Mind you, I'm still trying to wonder how does... I'm still trying to work out how you got Wolverine and Professor Xavier in your freezer last night.
They're very small.
Yeah, okay.
Pym particles.
Yeah, I don't want to know what you're doing with Pym particles.
Just move on.
People missed out on one hell of a game of cards last night.
Oh, God, that was traumatizing.
Yeah, if you want your childhood killed, tune in and you'll find out why.
And of course, at the lead, the oldest of the Time Lords himself, the one and only Tim Stein.
If you weren't so damn close to being bang on correct, I'd give you shit for calling me old.
You realize most Time Lords are pretty old.
Here's the thing, I'm not old. My mom is old.
You're old compared to us.
Older compared to you. And even if I was your age, I'd still be wiser. And my nickname would be Bud. Bud Weiser.
Lord help us all.
Yeah, there you go. That would tie into...
Rob, can you just break out the cards deck again, please?
Actually tie into the fact that we're going to play cards now and forget completely everything about wrestling for the week.
Since you missed it last night, Tim, we found a pack called Marvel Against Humanity.
Marvel Against Humanity?
Uh-huh.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
What kind of strange, torturous punishment did you put Iron Man through?
Oh.
I was right. Wasn't I?
His name came up more times than we can remember.
Yeah, there were a lot of Iron Man cards.
You guys fucked up Iron Man.
No. We didn't. Someone else created it and we just had fun with it. There's a difference.
There you go.
And here's something that'll be good for you, Tim.
Yeah.
For all my weird encyclopedic knowledge of comic books, I actually got stumped on a name.
You?
And it just so happened to be a Canadian superhero.
Oh, Superman.
No.
No.
Superman is Canadian. Did you not know that?
Yeah, but it's called Marvel Against Humanity.
Yeah, that's DC Comics, Superman.
And yet Clark fucking Kent was one of the white cards.
Go figure. What name did you not know because he was a Canadian superhero?
Janine Marie, it's like Bouvier?
Bouvier.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, it's pronounced Bouvier.
B-A-U-B-I-E-R?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Okay.
Now, turns out she was a superhero from the 1970s belonging to the Canadian team of Alpha Flight.
Believe it or not.
To which Omega and I went, they're still a thing? Well, there you go.
Well, I've just gotta seriously point this out to everybody listening, that you seriously kinda like, you know, really took me aback by it, but admitting that you got stumped on a name in the comic book universe.
Yeah, that surprised me too.
Yeah.
Mind you, I was there, was one of two people who could pronounce 99% of the names.
Oh, there you go. Okay, we'll give you points for that one, I guess. Well, officially, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night, Russell Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. By now, a great majority of those of you who listen live or via archive know that WrestleMania is 2 weeks away. Are you guys ready?
What? 2 weeks?
Can you believe
2 weeks and Roman Reigns still doesn't look strong.
Well, wait till tomorrow night, because one Paul Heyman promo will get you right into Brock Lesnar's corner.
Wait. Oh, they already did that.
Yeah, no, I know.
Oh,
God. They did a better job building up The Miz years ago.
Yeah, there you go.
They did a better job building up The Miz this year.
Yeah, only because of Mizdow.
Exactly.
Yeah. But just a friendly reminder, everybody listening live or archived, of course, we will do our special WrestleMania Pick'em next week, and it's going to be in-depth and involved. You want to make sure that you're here to try to predict who's going to win the matches. And you never know, if you wind up being somebody not involved with the website who actually winds up with the most picks, there's a chance your name is going to get put on the list to be given something for free.
Okay, are you sending it or is Rock sending it?
I'm not telling you one way or the other. I'm just saying there's a chance.
That means Rock.
So you're sending it.
I love it how you both went in different directions with that one. That was good. But hey, there's always a chance you might have a chance to win something. We've got Pick'em coming up next week. But for tonight, we're going to kick off with Win and Fail, Mace. You see how I know enough not to ask Omega, because he's still going through the list to see what happened. Yeah.
I've already made reference to my win for this week. And that was, you know, the most obvious thing on the planet, being Paul Heyman's promo. Seriously, when this guy gets on fire, man, it's an inferno. Referencing, you know, if Brock Lesnar wants to take the summer off to unify the UFC and WWE titles, well, goddammit, that's what he's gonna do.
Wasn't that a brilliant promo?
Oh, goosebumps. Goosebumps. I watched it again earlier and still gives me goosebumps like nearly a week later.
That just made me want to cheer for Brock no matter what, and I want him to win and then go to the UFC, win the UFC title, and then come back to WWE with both.
But, like, Heyman referenced the whole UFC thing, he referenced the contract issues, and a really, really good recap of Brock's history, you know, 2002 going up against The Rock and sending The Rock off to Hollywood.
Yep.
Going in the accomplishment of UFC, including a Frank Mir joke. Mm-hmm. You know, take a leg, see what happens.
Yep.
And even the whole thing of his microphone being cut off yet again by Oz behind the curtain or in the production truck, who doesn't have the balls to come out and take the microphone from him.
Uh-huh. Well, the question is, like, his microphone was shut off once or twice before, you know, failing completely. Are they doing this on purpose, or is this just, like, equipment error?
No, it's got to be something that they're working with, because this has been 2 weeks in a row that the man's microphone has been either cut off or has failed on him.
Yeah. I'm willing to bet the first time it was completely unintentional.
And then they decided to play with it because it got such a great response because of Paul Heyman.
Pretty much.
Well, you know, I'm inclined to think that, yeah. Because it seemed like they were attempting to temporarily cut off his mic every time you would mention something outside WWE.
Yeah, pretty much, except they were really, really slow on doing it.
Yeah, they didn't quite have the timing out. I mean, I got UFs, and then it went blank and then came back.
But all that did was just make Heyman, like, get more angry in that. And we know that the angrier Heyman gets, the better his promos get.
Oh, hell yeah. All right. So, yeah. Full marks for your win. Absolutely. For my win, you know, like, I knew you were going to pick Heyman. And we have gone round and round and round with Paul Heyman. The guy gets the trophy by default. This week, I give him honorable mention. Because I've got to do something different for a change. My win is Randy Orton finally attacking Seth Rollins, giving them the Steve Austin salute at the end. The Sting promo gets honorable mention, and the Taker Wyatt segment gets honorable mention. But I brought it up before that I want to see it, and it's got me just basically champing at the bit now of the Randy Orton Seth Rollins. A whole thing. I'm looking forward to that myself. That's my one for the week. What about you, Omega?
For me, it's probably going to be the Bray Wyatt and Undertaker spot.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from just Bray putting on really good promo work, I love how like cheesy and old school that was.
Yeah, it was entertaining. My question to you is, have you finally figured out how to get the lightning bolts to the chair from the ceiling?
Yeah, they don't. It's digital.
Just saying.
I figured it out. I'm smart boy.
SMRT.
I don't care. Okay, in the crowd, it just looks like the chair spontaneously combusted. You know, if you're watching at home, yeah, cheesy lightning bolt. And I love that they haven't updated the lightning bolt graphic since 1998.
Yeah, that's it was interesting. I'll give you that, I suppose.
I just like that it's like the old school Undertaker tricks. Though I demote points because they used a stock clip of his voice. You know, someone fly down with a tape recorder. Have him actually say Bray Wyatt's name and then go back to Stanford.
And I'll just edit that part in. Okay, so sticking with you, Omega, what's your fail for the week?
I almost hate to put it this way. I almost hate to go with this because I actually kind of like what the feud's doing. Anything involving the IC Championship, because there's part of me that's entertained by whoever's writing it, apparently thinking it's the hardcore title. Like, it's kind of funny to see that, like, half the mid-card all of a sudden wants to kind of toss it around and see who can hold it the longest.
So, as far as the IC title, you're looking forward to the ladder match. You're happy that they're going to do this, ladder match for the title, but you're not happy that they're treating it like they, treated the hardcore title when they had it.
Not so much that part is actually entertaining. It's the fact that the guy who actually has the title, like the guy who has the title, not the championship belt, looks like absolute dog shit. Like, who would want that title? Like, what?
Harper, Brian, Truth.
I know who's in the match.
Ziggler, Sheamus,
Ambrose.
But what value does it have right now? The champion's been beaten by half the roster since this started.
Then, guess what? They get to build off a clean slate, pretty much. Buried the last champion, now let's build the belt back up.
How many times? I'm going to take your pessimist route, Mace. How many times have we been saying that belt's going to get built back up?
Every time it's changed hands.
Anytime it's been on somebody that's actually been worthwhile. But hey, at least it's had more build than the World Heavyweight title.
He's got a point. You got a point, Mace.
Yeah.
Okay, so speaking of Mace, what's your fail?
Here's where I start to come at odds with people. Mine comes down to the production of the Sting and Undertaker segments from the past week. Basically, I was not a fan of the Sting promo at all. Like, the whole voice Sting, all of that, I just was not a fan. And the Undertaker accepting via a message on the Titantron, just like Sting did a while back.
Yeah, but
great
at the same
ideas, guys.
Yeah, but at the same time with Taker, you were the one who was saying don't bring him back until actual WrestleMania 31. But at the same time, they've got to answer the challenge somehow.
No, they don't. That's the big thing.
Ah.
Okay, think about it. You take out what happened this past week. You have Bray continuously coax The Undertaker right up until WrestleMania 31 itself. He comes out to the ring, like, full entrance, the whole nine yards, gets on the mic, and he's like, okay, I'm here. I've done everything I can to bring out the dead man. Obviously, you know, play up like the Undertaker's a coward. Then you have the lights go out, the gong hits, druids, the whole nine yards, and the Undertaker comes out and just beats the shit out of Wyatt. How awesome would that look on pay-per-view?
Are you spoiling that match for us?
No, but the thing is, you didn't need to have him answer the challenge until the actual pay-per-view itself. Him arriving, The Undertaker arriving at WrestleMania 31 with his entrance for the match is the answer. They're just doing this now because, oh, we have to make sure all the challenges are accepted before WrestleMania so we can promote the match. Everybody knows the match is going to happen regardless. So why bother? You know, why bother putting out this thing? Because now we've got 2 weeks of Bray Wyatt maybe getting on some mystical shit with The Undertaker. Mm-hmm. You don't need that anymore. All you needed was The Undertaker, the gong, druids, walks out at WrestleMania, crowd's mind explored. It'd be a WrestleMania moment.
Well, if you hadn't have played that loop of Undertaker, quote-unquote, answering the challenge last week, what if you just played the gong once and dropped
Don't even need that.
Not even that much.
You have the whole thing be a non-answer up until the day of WrestleMania.
No, I'm just posing questions like that because of the relative general stupidity of certain individuals who watch anything.
Well, you know what
I'm talking about.
General stupidity, yeah, I can guarantee that on, like, so many different subjects right now. One of them being, I think somebody was claiming that we're going to get Biker Taker at WrestleMania 31. I'm like, nuh-uh.
Yeah, that's not happening. Whoever thought the American Badass was coming back, no. That was a failure that they realized was a failure.
And yet I actually enjoyed that gimmick.
Well, yeah.
I was one of the few people who actually enjoyed the American Badass gimmick.
It was refreshing. Like, I'll give it that.
It was, if he hadn't have been the dead man for so many years, coming out as a biker, you know, a member of a bike gang with the rolling and riding the Harley to the ring, it would have been a great gimmick. It would have been a great, you know, great persona.
If this was for a guy that was debuting in the early 2000s, the size and the look that The Undertaker has as the American Badass.
Yeah.
Then I could have just bought it as his gimmick. You know, but the fact that he is still going to be the dead man no matter what.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't like that the build-up was absolute nothing. Like, we went from, like, super dark corporate ministry to riding a motorcycle in the ring, with a bandana, denim. Like, he just came in off the street.
Well, Biker Taker is the perfect example of, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I mean, Mace knows this, I know this, Omega, you've seen this. Once a wrestler finds his character, that's him for life. Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels, Bret the Hitman Hart, Stone Cold Steve Austin. Excellent. That's the apex of the examples right there is Austin. trying all these different gimmicks, nothing works, and then all of a sudden he comes out the anti-hero, and bingo, Stone Cold, Austin 316 just says, I whooped your ass.
Yeah, and, but as The Rock and Austin have said, the best gimmick isn't all, is usually themselves turned up to 11.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think The Undertaker is exactly that much into dark mysticism.
Well, you never know. But at the same time,
well, I suppose he has got a witch of a wife.
Well, you know, Michelle McCool. You know, as far as they say, true dat, but, you know, Undertaker isn't, you know, like, Mark Calloway isn't, you know, a dead man walking and all this other stuff. Granted, however, his character works. If you look at it at any other light, if anybody else had tried to be the Undertaker, I don't think it would have worked because I think the cheesiness would have just overshadowed everything. But
to be honest, if the Undertaker didn't exist and they went with Kane instead, you would still see Kane in that gimmick today. You would still see him as quite possibly the masked, you know, supernatural being,
and having never been unmasked.
Yeah, never been corporate Kane.
Yeah, you know, that's the absolute one thing that I have always despised about his character is when they decided to team him up with Sean Waltman and have Sean Waltman convince him to remove the mask.
It was RVD.
So, was it RVD? I thought it was Waltman.
No, Waltman was the whole mess with Tori.
Tori and the voice synthesizer when Kane started to talk.
Yeah, it was, X-Pac was the one that got him to take the voice box off.
Yeah, okay. I thought it was also the mask thing. But yeah, okay, fine. RVD. But the point being is the unmasking of Kane was a piss me off for the character. So
It's difficult. Well, I understand where it becomes difficult for writers to actually keep a character like that interesting, like with The Undertaker as well, for that long without some kind of change that humanizes him, makes him more relatable, or lets them go in a different direction, or lets them interact. Like, the one thing Kane couldn't do was interact.
Yeah.
You know, so, and I give them that because they slowly built up to it from X-Pac, you know, convincing him to take the voice box away, all the way up to where the mask no longer had a mouthpiece, and he was talking normally. You know, I'll credit them on that. You know, whereas Undertaker, just, you know, from one extreme to the other.
Yeah, it was just like totally out of the blue thing. There's no build up or anything like that, like you were saying, Omega. So
yeah.
Well, my fail for the week is Wiz Khalifa.
Yeah,
the guy I'm muted.
A musical act on a wrestling show. Yeah, because that grows over like a lead balloon.
Yeah.
It very rarely works. The only reason he was there is because he did some beats for WWE 15.
It only works if it's a theme that someone actually comes out to and they got the band to come play it live.
Yeah.
Or,
like, I had no problems when they brought out Kid Rock to perform.
Oh, see, that was the other one I was going to say. Or it's Kid Rock.
Yeah.
Because there was a period where, like, you had, like, Biker Taker using American Badass.
Yeah.
You had a period where, like, over in WCW, they had Jeff Jarrett using Cowboy. They were using his themes for pay-per-view themes. It's like, for some reason, the wrestling industry loved his, like, first two big albums. And nobody liked anything since, but that's beside the point.
Well, you know, as far as music goes with professional wrestling, yeah, sure, you can have characters that come out to the hip-hop beats or sing rap songs, you know, John Cena is singing his own song for a while there.
Or a three count.
That was
the only time singing actually got over in a wrestling crowd.
No, Tank Abbott, no!
Yeah. But when you have a performer who's a rap artist or something like that coming to do a song on the mic in the middle of a wrestling show, it doesn't work. The only time, in my opinion, the only time music works is if it's, you know, your heavy bass-driven rock. Because it just seems to fit in so well. And then, only if it's, you know, the live version, like you were saying, of the entrance thing. when that band, what's their names, performed Bray Wyatt's theme live. That was one of the exceptions to prove the rule. That wasn't, you know, your heavy driving rock. But it was so great to hear it played live as the Wyatts were coming up, right?
Well, anytime it's done, it seems to add to the gravitas of the performer as well yeah. as it's just cool to see. Like, and like
except for Lemmy and Motorhead.
It'd help if you could understand the lyrics when he's doing it live.
Well, you can't understand the lyrics when he's talking, never mind singing. Of course, when he's talking, it's not lyrics. It's just a bunch of words strung together to make sentences. Never mind. So, yeah, so that's win and fail for this week. For, well, basically WWE, I guess, because that's what we're focusing on.
Well, it's not like any of us are watching TNA.
I can't stomach TNA. I'm sorry. I hate to say
don't
that.
Don't apologize for it.
When they first came out and Jeff Jarrett had it going and you had to pay your $4 to watch the weekly Wednesday pay-per-view, I was adamant that TNA needed television. I even, you know, I was with a different website at that time doing a different webcast. I even wrote a petition, you know, entitled "We Want Our TNA," and I had literally thousands of people respond to this petition online. So, and then the next thing you know, they signed a deal with Spike TV. So I'm not taking credit, but you never know. But I'm not missing TNA not being available in Canada.
Yeah, I'm not missing it not being available here either.
When I get really fed up with WWE, I just, I hit the interwebs and catch some Ring of Honor or New Japan. So.
Yeah. I'm not missing it being available here.
You're not missing it being available. There you go.
No.
Not missing you at all. So, yeah. Anyway, moving on. You guys heard that John Cena in an interview said that he wouldn't watch WWE if he wasn't a wrestler, because it's for 6 to 10-year-olds.
I heard about this, and it seems supposedly the whole thing's taken out of context or something. Like, supposedly the interviewer has misquoted or some bullshit, but then that could just be the WWE loyalists covering up for their hero as usual.
Well, you know, there you go. The media never makes mistakes or takes anybody out of context, right?
Well, yeah, they do quite often, but...
Hashtag in sarcasm. But Omega, you were going to weigh in on this, too. You had something to say.
Did I?
You and Mace were both starting to talk at the same time. He just overpowered you with his personality.
Okay.
Or something. I don't know. But you started to say something.
I started to say that... No, I hadn't heard of this.
Ah, okay. It wasn't a huge news story, but if you go to a couple of different websites, they had posted something about it on there. I do believe that PWMania.com had something on there. He said mentioning PWMania.com because we're affiliated with PWMania.com.
Smooth.
But yeah. Yeah, The way it was written, it was just one of those real quick little news blurb things. Like May said, it just came across like it was taken out of context.
But look, if we want to try and treat this as sort of he said, you know, WWE is for 6 to 10-year-olds. Okay, way to sort of bash the rest of the people that are in the audience, you know, the other 75%, the ones that are spending money to take those 6 and 10-year-olds to the show and buy the merchandise, get the pay-per-views and all that type of stuff, because, you know, those other people don't exist, supposedly.
There you go, yeah. Well, you know, I'll admit it. I'll be one of the first people to admit it. I loved the Attitude Era just because it was, you know, appealing to me. It was a little more grown up and all this other stuff. And then, you know, like, I like it. My son who's going to be 15 years old next month. Oh my God, Owen's turning 15. But even at him being 15 years old, coming on to 15 years old, what we were watching in, you know, 98, 99, 2000, 2001, I wouldn't right now at this point in time want him to watch something like as a responsible dad. I mean, I have a hard time with him watching American Dad, for crying out loud, or Family Guy. Yes, Mace, go ahead. Give me a shit for that.
No, I'm not. I'm actually going back and double-checking the story, because the quote that I'm getting from the good people over at PWMania.com goes as thus. I totally get it. I don't necessarily spend my time watching programs that 6 to 10-year-old kids enjoy, so I need to get so I get the need for different racy comedy and storylines. I've got a feeling that he's not speaking so much about the WWE itself. I'm more thinking because the interview was done to promote the WWE's Flintstones movie.
Yep.
That he's referring to the Flintstones movie, and people have just taken it out of context and gone, "Oh, he's talking about WWE."
Yeah, they've actually, there are some websites out there I'm not going to give any advertising to because, you know, dirt sheets and you know how I feel about them. But they have actually taken that and said that he said that about WWE. He said he wouldn't watch WWE.
No. Because it's for I've got the quote in front of me, Tim.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily spend my time watching programs that 6 to 10-year-old kids enjoy.
No,
that,
I know what
that,
I know
that
what,
is the quote. There is no, he mentions WWE or anything like that. It just means that somebody's taken the context.
Yeah.
Either the interviewer has mentioned his, because the question was about John Cena being okay with the balance of cheers and jeers he receives.
Mm-hmm. No, Cena might not
have been paying attention at the time and thought he was referring to like the Flintstones movie or something, and he was just going down that road instead of what the interviewer wanted, which was a WWE-related question.
Yeah, no. I know that. I'm not arguing with you on that. I'm just pointing out some websites. This is how they've taken it out of context. So, but seeing as we're talking about WWE and 6 to 10-year-olds, is there anything you see on like Monday Night Raw lately that you wouldn't want your 6-year-old to watch?
Randy Orton flipping off Seth Rollins.
Yeah, there's Randy Orton killing Seth Rollins.
There's two.
Anything Bray Wyatt's doing with The Undertaker right now.
That's three.
Just the New Day.
Without even... Well, nobody should watch the New Day.
Yeah, nobody should watch the New Day. Anything to do with the Divas?
Mm-hmm. A lot of the stuff to do with the Divas, especially the camera angles.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I'm sitting there thinking, move the damn camera lower, you know, but anyway.
A lot of the stuff with the Divas are also a lot more mean-spirited.
Yep, but, yeah, so,
This is the thing, like, wrestling in general for 6 to 10-year-olds, it's fine. Yep. You know, you still see a lot of 6 to 10-year-olds at the shows. They get into it. They love the costumes. They like people for doing flips and shit, and they love the characters and the, you know, they don't enjoy it on like a highly, you know, that they get everything that's going on. It's just a bunch of flashing entertainment to them.
Well, have you seen those internet memes on Twitter and Facebook comparing wrestling fans? Well, the wrestling fans, like the 12-year-old wrestling fans from the 80s and then comparing them to the 90s? 12-year-old wrestling fans from the 80s are dressed like Hulk Hogan and it's say your prayers and eat your vitamins. And then the 12-year-old fans from the 90s are giving the camera the finger. A la Steve Austin.
That's because that's what was hot at the time. Austin was hot in the 90s, so all the kids wanted to emulate Austin.
Well, yeah.
Which was always cute as shit when you see like a 3-year-old in a sleeveless vest trying to be Austin.
It's adorable if it's not your own kid and you don't want him growing
pretty
up.
Much.
Yeah, so a line of 10-year-olds in the front row screaming, suck it.
Doing the crotch chop? Because, let's face it, maybe a 10-year-old is not going to take a wrestling move to the playground at recess at school.
Or try and, you know, use them on his girlfriend into a pool.
Oh, that was funny. the whole uproar over that whole thing was funny. But anyway, I would, you know, I have seen 10-year-old kids doing the crotch chop. You know.
Yeah, but I've seen kids doing that and they have no idea what the fuck wrestling is.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's that too.
That was one of those things that, you know, transcended wrestling and just became...
That would have been the degrees of separation. I mean, after a while, you don't know where it's coming from. You just know that you're doing it. So, yeah. All right. Well, we've been at this for just about 40 minutes. Let's say we take our first time out of the evening, everybody.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Yeah, you're listening to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We've got a lot more headed your way. We'll be back right after this. Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air, don't worry, we got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR wherever you are.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWmania.com. Again, the web address is PWmania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWmania.com.
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MVG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today. Thursday nights, The Rack lays the smackdown on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Join me, Lindsay Ward, and my handyman producer, Sir Rockin', as we give you all the latest wrestling news, discussions, our reactions to both NXT and SmackDown, along with interviews with some of our favorite wrestling superstars.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar. What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz.
This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE. Seth Rollins.
This is King from WWE.
The future is now when you experience The Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
This is Matt Hardy, version 1, and you're listening to WTR Sunday nights along with the biggest MFers on the planet. And they're setting up and learning from the Sensei of Madison. So make sure to tune in each and every week and catch Russell Talk Radio. And in closing, I am the one! Oh.
Tell me, do you think it'd be alright?
And welcome back, WTR, Sunday Night Rock Talk Radio, right here on Mile Talk Radio Network. After our quick little timeout, right back at it. We brought this up a little bit in the opening segment, and of course, the Paul Heyman promo was your win for the week. Mace?
Indeed it was.
Yeah, talk a little bit about Brock Lesnar. What exactly was Heyman's quote? If Brock Lesnar wants to take the WWE title and this...
If Brock Lesnar wants to take the summer off and go and unify the UFC and WWE championships, then he damn will.
And of course, the classic Paul Heyman style. Now, could you guys see WWE allowing Brock Lesnar to actually do this?
Absolutely not.
Take the WWE
no.
title with them to the UFC? No?
Fuck no.
No.
If Brock didn't drop the belt before leaving the company, the lawsuit papers will be in the mail the very next day.
Well, but what if he signs some kind of a deal where he does go on summertime hiatus, but he's still the champ?
They would never let him. If they re-sign him to a contract that allows him to go to the UFC during the summer, then that is just stupid business.
Yeah. Now, just for shits and giggles, say that he does take the belt with him. What kind of a reaction would he get from the predominantly UFC crowd who like their fighting real and not fake?
Dude out of the building. Riots.
How
bottles
bad,
of beer thrown.
How bad would the publicity for WWE be? Just because Brock
was
holding
the
tight
thing is,
wrestling
it wouldn't
title.
Be. The thing is, it would be Brock Lesnar over all the UFC sites, over the news and everything. If Brock Lesnar goes into UFC with the WWE Championship and gets booed out of the building against a very hostile crowd, that's free publicity for the WWE.
That's excellent publicity for the WWE. Look at it from the other side. How bad would it make Dana White's UFC look if Brock Lesnar, a wrestling champion, comes in and wins the UFC title?
Oh, people would be walking out of the company.
How fast would he lose money?
How dare you let this fake fighter come into your company once again with the fake championship and, the fanboys would be up in arms and it would be glorious.
we would love watching that car accident because it'd be a multi-car pileup on I-95, let's face it.
Oh dude, it would be Blues Brothers levels.
But I would feel absolutely horrible for Dana White. Because let's face it, Brock Lesnar going to UFC and winning that the UFC heavyweight title after all of the publicity about him leaving WWE first time around. Acceptable. Because he went from something that was show and entertainment to something that's real and it's a blood sport. And the UFC fans were accepting of him for the most part. But show up with that title and I'd write Dana White a very, very long letter.
If Brock rocks up with the WWE title, that's fine. Mm-hmm. You know, that gets the WWE headlines, which they might not want, but still.
Rocks up to Joe Rogan on the announce table and drops it in a trash can.
However, if Brock goes back to UFC with the WWE belt and wins the UFC Heavyweight Championship a second time
while holding on to the
WWE title, Dana White would have so many contenders and rematches and shit lined up that it would keep Brock busy for years. Because that would be the first thing Dana White would be going like, fuck no, I don't want Brock taking my belt onto WWE television.
Yeah.
Let's line up fucking Frank Mir and Marco Krokop and all these other guys. Just this every, you know, Brock, you're going to be defending that belt on every UFC show until you lose the fucking thing.
Next thing you know, it's the authority levels of underhandedness.
Oh, yeah, it would be. It would be, because Dana White would be scrambling to save his brand, because if Brock rocks up on WWE television with the UFC belt, that makes the UFC look like shit.
It doesn't hurt the WWE one bit. Let's clarify that right now. Anything, any
oh, God,
scenario.
No. Brock rocks up on Raw with both belts. Oh,
and it's like, pop!
Dude, fucking Brock's popularity. Brock would then ask for $5 million and Vince would have to give it to him.
Vince would have no choice. I mean, if Vince wants to make $10 million and every time Brock Lesnar shows up, he'd better give Brock that $5 million.
Now, we do want to mention that this is all completely hypothetical and this is never going to happen.
Oh yeah, no, 100%. Yeah, 100%. This is just because Heyman cut such a great promo. It gets you thinking. And let's just pose this as a hypothetical question just to see where it goes.
Yeah, cause in reality, neither would let the other sign or fight in the other.
Oh no, absolutely.
Neither
not.
One would risk the liability of that.
Well, yeah, but you know, and like I was saying at the same time, the only person who loses is Dana White. Big time. If that were to happen. But keeping on with Brock Lesnar, recently, CM Punk at one of these live Q&A sessions that he's been doing, preparing to get into UFC, recently stated this past week that if he and Brock Lesnar were on the same UFC show, it would break all pay-per-view records. Do you believe him?
I don't think it'd break pay-per-view records. It'd break CM Punk.
Well, you want to expand on that? How would it break CM Punk?
Brock smash.
No. He never said that he was fighting Brock Lesnar. If they were on the same card, not fighting each other.
Then it would be treated like another UFC card. So it wouldn't be, you know, it's like putting, Anderson Silva and Ronda Rousey on the same card.
Uh-huh.
They're both headliners, but because they're in different weight classes, they're headlining in different weight classes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, if you're putting Punk and Brock on the same show, they're obviously not going to be in the same weight class.
Yep.
So it would just be treated as two separate main event matches.
Yeah. Well, now are you more
inclined? You want to break the records? Then sure, put Punk against Lesnar and see how the buy rate goes up a little.
And see how fast Punk actually gets the shit kicked out of him in real life.
Oh, yeah.
Because let's face it, you know, like Brock Lesnar, hate Brock Lesnar, make fun of his wrestling ability or lack thereof, which you shouldn't, by the way. He's an NCAA champion. People tend to forget that. He would absolutely, like you said, he would break CM Punk in record. Well, I don't know. I'm saying in record time.
Oh, I wouldn't put down record time. It would be one hell of a beating.
It would be fun
as fuck to watch because Brock would just go to town.
It'd be like one baseball team scoring 12 runs on another baseball team in, you know, the first half of the first inning. Mercy kill. Mercy kill.
Okay, have you guys ever actually seen Tank Abbott in the UFC?
I have, actually.
Monster. Just go in, throw bombs, smack your opponent around until he fucking drops dead and then leave.
Didn't he just, that one opponent, if you remember the fight I'm talking about, and of course we're going way back, USC was still a fringe sport and outlawed in like five states when this was happening.
But UFC 4 where he knocked out his opponent in three punches?
Yeah, that's the one he broke the guy's face in three punches.
Yeah, it was literally ding, ding, ding. Tank comes out, one, boom. Two, three, and that was it. The guy was out.
Yeah, I mean, it was quicker than Ronda Rousey's win. And that's awesome.
Rousey's got faster submission. I can't remember who's got fastest knockout these days.
Well, for the long time it was Tank. And then, they brought him into WCW and made him look like an absolute fool. They really did. I mean, WWE did a lot better with, not Steve Blackman, but what's his name? Come on.
Shamrock.
Thank you. Ken Shamrock. They did a better job, way better job with Ken Shamrock than WCW did with Tank Abbott.
There's really no argument there.
Well, yeah, when I wasn't looking for one. But, are you more inclined to spend $50 to watch GSP fight or CM Punk fight?
Not GSP.
Exactly.
I'm a GSP fan, so of course
I'm
gonna
well, who's not, Punk. Right? Omega, are you a GSP fan?
Do you know who GSP the hell is?
Pound for pound, one of the toughest UFC fighters to this date, Georges St-Pierre.
Okay, yeah, I like my violence fake.
Okay, you like your fighting fake, like Trey Dog does. So, yeah. If CM Punk is on the card, sure, that's fine. But I'm not going to plunk down $50 to watch CM Punk fight. He's not a draw for me. Unless the card is really good, then he's part of the entire draw. But if UFC has a shitty card, but GSP is fighting in the main, I'm plunking down the money just to watch GSP fight.
Well, here's the thing. Like, Punk's first match is going to draw.
Mm-hmm.
I'll guarantee it.
Oh, because yeah.
It's the same thing that happened when Batista had his first one.
Yep.
Brock had his first one. Mm-hmm. Bobby Lashley.
Yeah.
You know, when you have a wrestler with a name,
it's coming
into the UFC, it is a novelty and it is going to draw. So putting Punk on the card is going to draw.
Yeah.
But after that, it depends on how he goes. If Punk wins and starts doing really good in his matches, people start buying at the seam. If he walks out there and gets his ass whooped, people are just going to laugh their asses off.
And they're going to point and say, yeah, see, hey, why don't you go back to your fake fighting wrestler and leave the real fighters to the real men. I mean,
but you got to remember Brock's first foray into into the UFC. He lost to Frank Mir, and everybody said, go back to your fake fighting, you fuck, and he turned around and he won the heavyweight championship and said, fuck you all, I drink Coors, not Budweiser shit.
I'm gonna go climb on top of my wife and have a Coors Light because Budweiser doesn't pay me. And we're just looking over there and saying, Dana White, look at the steam coming out of his ears. Oh God! I remember talking about that when it happened. You know, Dana White in the improv was probably just like doing the fist bump that Brock said that publicly, saying, "Don't ever fucking do it again."
And then the apology press conference after, where he's cradling a Budweiser like a firstborn.
Uh huh. So that was almost like Shawn Michaels overselling for the Hulk Hogan match. Cradling his firstborn Budweiser.
That selling was so fucking hilarious. I gotta watch it again after this.
Oh, that would be, shit. But yeah, sorry, Punk. I'm gonna disagree with you, and I think my compatriots here are gonna disagree with you too. You're not gonna break box office records.
It's gonna get a draw just for the curiosity, but
Yeah, are going to tune in because it's Punk's first fight. They want to know if he can run, if he can run with the big dogs. But at the same time, Punk will not be a major draw unless he starts stringing a few wins together.
Yeah. There's only so much he's going to get on just his prior credits.
Yeah.
Because, if you're not going to, it's either that or, his former WWE. Do you even promote him as former WWE world champion?
The UFC will just promote him as CM Punk.
Or Phil Brooks, former professional wrestler.
He was on the UFC show last night, and he was actually promoted as CM Punk.
Oh, he was?
He owns that.
I didn't know that he owned, I thought that he gave up the rights to his name. Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
It'd be hilarious if they had to actually bill him as like the former writer of the Thor comic book.
That would be just tragic.
And that was one shitty issue, by the way.
It was a, it was not an issue worth reading. You will never.
I picked it up to have it read, to just read Punk's one, and yeah, it was crap.
So you're proof that people will tune in to see his first time.
Pretty much. Yeah. His first time writing a comic book. It was shit. Now I'm not gonna, and he's already been slated to write more comic books. I ain't gonna read them.
I'm not wasting my money. Oh, I'll just watch Comic Book Man. Instead.
I do that anyway, but.
Well, yeah, let's face it. That's a given. Well, Megan, do you watch Comic Book Man?
No, actually.
No, he wouldn't, because it's one of these shows where people bring in their stuff and it gets overvalued. And Omega would just be sitting there going, fuck off.
This is like Pawn Stars for Pawn Stars for geeks. I mean, I love it because people are getting so ripped off.
Fuck. I had a friend of mine that showed up on the Canadian Storage Wars.
Yeah.
Because they, air quote, found a box of Transformers.
Uh-huh.
And they just happened to find a box of Transformers while a 3-day convention for Transformers was going on within driving distance.
Don't you love reality TV?
I love it. Oh my god.
And how they're not planned out or scripted or anything?
The absolute luck. And they had him as like the guest evaluator. It's like, mm-hmm. here's this stuff, tell us how much it's worth. And it's the most contrived shit you could ever find, because they bring out this like broken Megatron toy, and it's like, well, you'd have something if it still had the arm, and they look in the bag. Oh, here's the arm. Oh, and here's the barrel. Oh, and here's the scope. Oh, and here's the stock. Oh, and here's the
And they've got everything, but it's just in pieces, yeah. Do you know what Canadian city it was?
I have no idea.
Probably Toronto.
I think it was in Toronto.
Oh, no, I'm gonna go look up the episode now, because I've actually got a little Storage Wars Canada sitting here.
There you go. Yeah, no.
He said it was like the biggest bullshit he's ever gone through.
Well, it sounds like, you know, it's like watching Pawn Stars. I mean, none of that stuff is real, and nobody on this planet is as dumb as Chumley.
Yeah. I know people who have been on Pawn Stars too.
Yeah. But I've
seen, it was like, oh, that's horseshit.
Yeah. But I do enjoy, finding out all of these historical articles and items that people bring in. Because that's the whole idea of the show, is to give you the history of stuff.
Yeah, the history is neat.
I like that part.
I'll credit that. Like, the one guy I recognized on there brought in he's a guy named Pat the NES Punk online.
Mm-hmm.
He's just one of those guys that does, like, you know, old video game videos. Mm-hmm. And he brought in a cartridge of the Nintendo World Championships.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like a compilation of three games they brought in as like a nationwide tournament. Mm-hmm. And the only cartridges that existed were all the ones at the locations that the tournaments were held at.
Yeah.
So there's like less than, I want to say like less than 30 of them.
Hmm.
And the thing goes for like thousands and thousands of dollars.
Goodness. But, you know, again, with Storage Wars and Pawn Stars and Comic Book Men, it's just kind of fun to watch all these people getting ripped off that are trying to sell these things. So,
you know, they're not really trying to sell. Like this,
of course not.
Like this game is this guy's like prized possession. Mm-hmm. Like I'm convinced he'd sooner give up his child.
Well, it's just wonderfully set up that way. But what can you do? We should actually move on and talk about our next topic, which happens to be Sting and his Black Scorpion promo. You guys, did you have a problem with this?
Fucking hated this.
I thought it was shit.
Well,
so
think
yes,
back to 1990. Yeah, I know. That was half rhetorical. Think back to 1990. Who was Sting's nemesis in 1990?
Mick Foley.
Black Scorpion. They're not the same people. WWE even said, well, we did this because we're doing the Black Scorpion Sting gimmick. Sting was never Black Scorpion, you idiots. Why couldn't you just record his own voice?
They did.
Without distorting it. That's what I meant.
This was so fucking... You've got Sting, you've got his real voice, and when you listen to it without all the bullshit filtering, yep, it's a good promo. It sounds good.
Yep.
There's no reason to dilute it and pretend like he's either got a demonic voice or he's got someone speaking for him. No!
Well, as far as the promo itself goes, when you're watching the video and you see the photoshopped Sting paint on Undertaker, what do you think about them
on Undertaker?
On Triple H.
Are you living
I'm reading notes. Okay, give me a break.
You're living in the dimension where they actually got the match they wanted.
Well, that's not going to happen until next year. Let's face it. But
Triple H. Sting's done after this.
On Triple H, the Sting paint on Triple H, the whole graphics and stuff like that.
I actually kind of like that effect.
If you watch
that effect was funky as hell. But the rest of the promo, like the weird camera angles and all that shit, and the voice and fuck it off.
Well, now have you watched that promo with no audio?
Yes.
It's 50% awesome and 50% shit.
No, it looks like a badly done WCW promo.
Maybe that's what they're going for. Who knows? But, it wasn't much greasing towards the match. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's one of those things of... I've come to notice that the bigger matches for this year's WrestleMania just aren't getting... They're either not getting enough hype, or they're just getting no hype.
Yeah. or the wrong kind of hype.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem... They just don't seem worth watching.
It's coming across to me like, okay, you guys know this is all happening, but hey, look, we got all these other things. Let's tell you about those, too. Because all these other things are going to be on the card, but you know that that's going to happen. But look at all these other things! And that's how it feels to me this year. And I've got no problem with them making sure that the crowd knows that all of these other things are happening. But like you said, you can't ignore your main events.
You know, that's the whole thing. Like it's like, oh, look at these other matches that we've got. We got a Divas tag match. We got a ladder match for the IC title. We got this and that. Then you've got your two main events.
Yep.
Both of them involve a part-time guy who can't be there to create hype.
Yep.
And they're trying their best to use video packages and stuff to create the hype, but without the people actually being there, it just does not work.
It's hard. It's really hard.
It's hard to do a one-sided build, you know. That's why Bray Wyatt isn't exactly getting the hype that he wants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Triple H is there building against a Sting who's never there.
Yep.
You've got Roman Reigns who's doing absolutely no build, and Paul Heyman trying to build for two guys that just seemingly don't give a shit.
Yeah.
And they're meant to be a big three draw matches for the show.
Well, let me ask you.
We've got 2 weeks. Get these guys on camera for fuck's sake, with the exception of The Undertaker.
Yeah, well, let me ask you, like, just based on these two one-person promos, Sting and Triple H and Taker and Bray Wyatt, which of these two matches are you more anticipatory of?
Neither.
Well, pick one of the two.
My most hyped match for WrestleMania that I am actually excited to watch is the IC fucking ladder match.
Yeah.
Everything else I don't care about.
But I'm talking about...
I have zero fucks to give.
Okay, which one of these two matches do you have more fucks, or less fucks to give than the other?
Omega, what the hell is no more fucks to give? What part of I don't give no fucks are you not understanding, Tim?
Well,
it's not a matter of I don't care less about one or the other. It's I now give zero fucks about the World Heavyweight title, the Undertaker versus Bray Wyatt match, and the Sting versus Triple H match. I give zero fucks about those three matches.
So basically what you're saying, it's a tie. It's a dead heat.
No, they're all losers.
Which would be a tie and a dead heat. You're not playing along, so I'm going to give you a hard time.
Oh, I don't want to fucking play along. Since when do I ever fucking play along?
At least, you know, Sting has shown up once or twice.
Yeah, he's shown up and done what? Pointed a bat.
Pretty much.
It worked in the 90s. I'm sorry, it's not going to work today against a Triple H that has verbally buried him every single week since Survivor Series.
So if Sting had come and basically returned the favor and buried Triple H on the mic, that
would... He doesn't need to... No, no. You have Triple H there trying to bury Sting verbally. Sting should come out and do it physically. Well, he should have the upper hand in the mind games. If he's not going to talk, play the mind games more. And have Sting turn around and go, you know what? Here's my bat. Bonk.
So there hasn't been enough from Sting's side to get you interested.
There hasn't been enough confrontation from Sting's side.
We already know how you feel about Triple H.
Look, I respect Triple H and what he does for business, but as a character, I fucking hate the bastard.
Well,
and congratulations, that means he's doing his fucking job.
Exactly, but at the same time, we don't need 15-minute promos from Triple H to open up every Raw now, do we?
I wish we got 15 minutes. We're getting half an hour, 45-minute promos from Triple H to open up Raw.
There you go. Okay. So I don't think we have anything else to talk about as far as that goes.
I don't know. Maybe Omega has an opinion.
He really has.
What? Do I?
Do you have an opinion?
Usually.
Well, I just wait for you to, jump in like you normally do. And when you don't, I figure you don't have anything else to say about it.
Well, I'm occupied because I'm trying to make a logo while I'm at this.
Well, quit playing your video games and get on with it.
That's not a video game, Tim.
Never mind.
It's a logo.
What is your opinion on this subject?
Hang on. Mace, can I borrow a fuck?
See, I knew it.
Sorry, I have no fucks left to give.
He's got no
fucks. Oh, shit.
You get your fuck. I think he's got some left.
I already owe Rock some fucks.
What about Lindsay?
No, she took them all.
Well, then you're fucked.
So this is our Abbott and Costello routine now.
Which is still a classic routine.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't know.
That's still the funniest thing. I had to introduce someone to that. And, it never fails to get a laugh.
Oh, that's only because they were so good at doing it.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody else did, I don't see it being as long-lasting or as funny as it was.
But I am kind of with Mace on pretty much everything here. WrestleMania is just falling so flat to me.
Mm-hmm.
It just, it feels like, you know, it feels like they're trying, but they don't have anything that's really worth trying for. You know, okay, our two top matches have guys who can't be there either because, he won't work enough dates or he probably can't get out of bed right now.
he can't put the walker down. Yeah, I said it.
And then the rest of the card is, okay, it's a guy that's being forced down our throats that we don't want to see wrestle versus a guy who's never around. Yeah. Those three matches where the main draw isn't there all the time.
Now, let's just put this to bed with the final question. Is WrestleMania this year mishyped or underhyped? Or both?
I don't think it's possible to get this to any actual hype level.
So that would be underhyped?
Yeah, I'd probably go with underhyped as well, but I put that squarely on the way that the company is going. They're sort of realizing that, oh, we're no longer having our people pay 50 to 70 bucks to watch WrestleMania this year. They're now getting it for 10 bucks.
Well,
so we have to give them $10 worth of entertainment.
You would think that they would be really pushing really, really hard to show that, hey, you're getting more than your money's worth, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, yeah.
Get more people to sign up.
It's their first WrestleMania on the network, for fuck's sake. Is You'd it? Figure...
No,
yeah.
They had last year.
They had it on last year.
Yeah. Yeah, they kicked off the network.
I thought it was after.
Mm-hmm. They kicked it off after Rumble.
I'm sure our producer back us up or something.
Yeah,
well, that's positive. It was on the network last year, and they had 50,000 people watch it on the network. No, it was on the network because I remember people bitching and complaining that the stream wasn't working.
Yeah.
It was buffering and hiccuping and shit. Yep.
Didn't have the shit worked out yet.
Yeah, there you go. So, you know, normally this time of the year, on TV networks and on the radio and stuff like that, in previous years, I have seen all the hype for WrestleMania coming up. I don't recall a single radio spot for WrestleMania yet. At least, on local radio here.
Well, even down here in Australia, usually it's WrestleMania would have hype videos and, commercials on other programming just to, try and sell you the, buy WrestleMania on pay-per-view. This year, nothing.
Exactly.
Again, it's probably to draw the network.
Well, the question being is, like for all of these different spots, is the, cable provider paying for those spots to get you to buy their product to watch WrestleMania, as opposed to WWE paying for all of these ads? Huh? And that's why you don't see as much, or it hasn't happened yet.
Purple.
Exactly.
Germany.
Purple Germany. Yeah. But WWE has started investing money, more money in advertising, in their markets because a lot of the advertising that has happened in the past was provided for by the pay-per-view provider. Like in Alberta, Shaw Cable or Shaw Direct, and in Ontario, on Rogers Cable. And those were the providers paying for the advertising, not WWE. It's not happening this year because of the network. So.
Mind you, I just went and had a look at my cable's pay-per-view provider.
Mm-hmm.
They've dropped the price of WrestleMania this year.
How much is it now?
$24.95.
Really?
Australian.
How much was it last year?
That's Australian. Last year it was close to $50.
Yeah, but
I think it was $49.95 last year.
Yeah, but $24.95 Australian. That's like $22, $21.
Try something along the lines of about $18.
$18 American. Okay.
As I go and double check.
Wow. Those people are going to get ripped off.
I'm gonna check the Canadian cable.
$19.05 US dollar to buy it. So yeah, just under $20.
And yes, last year people were paying $50 for it.
Yeah.
In some markets $60.
In some markets $70 if you wanted HD.
Well, yeah. Which is, freaky. You know, that was the one nice thing about when I had my satellite. The company gave you free HD channels as long as you had the box.
You know who I feel sorry for in all of this?
Is?
The bars that play wrestling. Because those licensing fees are a bitch.
Oh, yeah, tell me about it.
Like, well, I don't need to tell you about it because, you used to know about it due to the Bottoms Up Sports Pub.
Yep, and that's one thing that Spencer Tapley, Mark Shark Carlo, used to talk to us. He talked to me about it all the time, about how he kept swinging deals with WWE Canada because he kept threatening to cancel, for whatever reason, and they kept dropping the price on him, but it was still absolutely nuts.
Yeah, it's like I've always said, like, to put on something like WrestleMania at a sports bar would be a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's like, well, how legal do you really want to be about it? Because all it would take is a good Wi-Fi connection and someone with a laptop.
Yeah, pretty much. So, but anyway, that being said, we're going to take our second time out of the evening. Everybody, you're listening to WTR Sunday Rust Talk Radio. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back on the other side of this quick little timeout. Go grab yourself a cold one, get refreshed, whatever. Grab some chips, whatever you need.
Feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra. Weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply dabomb.com.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Are you serious? That's the number two.
That's currently number seven. It was number two at one point.
Apparently it's big or something, but I don't know what the fuck it is. It sounds like a gang bang or something.
Techno gang bang. Maybe the world needs fans. End of the world Gangnam style.
Weird shit becomes popular. Like, I swear I've heard all about this stuff, but I was like, what is this, like a fucking martial art, or is this type of food or something? I don't know what the hell it is. Is it sexual position? I play my, you know, work schedule and whatnot, but...
Watch the video.
Okay, let me get the video then.
What the fuck? I thought the people are going to be showing at the party. Oh, you Gundam style over here.
That's the horse you have, that's the horse you have. Not the pelvic thrust. Is that Mr. Sulu in the sky? Oh, they're riding that pony.
Yeah, I know.
That 800 million? Oh, I'm scared for the future.
Yeah.
This is why I don't go to clubs and dance, because I can't do this shit. Hey, I make sure the club's staying still. I'd lean on that wall. I make sure I got drinks in my hand, and I make sure that club's staying still.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be dreaming about him.
Oh, man, damn it. Now I gotta play something else, Rock. I'm going to wake up and start riding the damn donkey.
I hate that song. Rock, I think you just replaced the song in my head with the worst song. Now I'm watching some Hispanic dude do it in my head. Oh, now it's being cross-referenced with the Asian dude. Oh, they're having a mass Macarena.
Macarena
style. Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
God bless, I was made in America.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
It's boots to asses time.
From the big returns.
You gotta be kidding me! I see a ghost in Jones! That's Jake the Snake Roberts! What on earth? I've got chills out here!
To the shocking moments.
Case you haven't figured it out yet, what I do better than anybody is adapt. Last night was plan A, tonight, plan B. There's always a plan B.
Oh my God! Are you kidding me? Rollins now hit the Sunday Ambrose after he took out Reigns!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Hey, this is the world's most dangerous man, Ken Shamrock. And you're listening to Wild Talk Radio.
WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Slightly extended intro there because I was otherwise occupied.
Otherwise occupied. That's a good way to put it.
Otherwise occupied momentarily. This is what happens when you drink during the show, and I'll leave it at that.
Lord, help us all.
Well, yeah, you know, stuff happens, and that's all I'm going to say. But when you got to go, you got to go.
When nature calls,
you answer the damn door.
Exactly.
So there you go. I just want to give a shout-out right now to Molly Malone's. Molly Malone's, it's an Irish pub here in Kensington, Calgary. It's a place I love to go. It's the best Irish pub in the city. You got some great food, friendly atmosphere. It's been around for a really long time. For those of you in Calgary, I know we've got a bunch of Calgary listeners right now, believe it or not. The address is 1153 Kensington Crescent Northwest in Kensington. That's Molly Malone's Irish pub. Tomorrow night, trivia night. Come on down and see if you can do better than I do in trivia. We'll see how you do. And I also want to just let people know, I'm sure there are a couple of people trying to send me text messages to my cell phone at the moment. My phone is dead and it's plugged in and it's busy charging right now. So if you're sending me a text message, be advised that I cannot get your text because my phone's turned off. So just with all of that, did you know that I am writing a cookbook?
I guess this is where I'll play along. Wait, you're writing a cookbook?
Thank you for playing along. I'm writing a cookbook, yes, believe it or not.
You remember those things that I have no fucks to give? This is one of them.
This is one of them, yeah. But, I'm writing a cookbook. It's called From the Man Kitchen. That's the working title, tentatively. I'm sure we'll add to it, me and Rock. But, it's all of the food that I make, all the recipes are my very own. And I've already got 12 pre-orders for it. So that's $120 right there without even having anything done yet. So ha ha. So stay tuned and I'll give you details on how you can get your hands on this thing. when it's ready to go, and it'll be ready to go not too long. That being said, who's the bunny?
You're the bunny.
I'm not the bunny.
Who cares about the bunny?
Actually, for quite a while there, I cared more about the bunny than I did about Adam Rose.
Let's for a while there, I cared more about the guy in the hot dog suit.
You know those fucks that you didn't have to give for everything else? That was me with Adam Rose.
I cared about Adam Rose during his first NXT intro.
Because it's party time every time.
When he had a much better, much catchier song, and it was a small crowd who could actually get into the entrance.
There you go.
And then he actually wrestled a match, changed his music, and all the fucks had been given away.
There you go. Well, I'll just let you know right now that this past week, Justin Gabriel has admitted that he was the bunny.
What? Meh.
Now if only we knew who drove the Hummer. All mysteries would be solved.
Didn't they
sleep at night?
Didn't they solve that at one point?
I didn't even pay attention.
Well, I don't think that Justin Gabriel was the bunny for all, you know, all the time.
No, it wasn't.
The report was Sami Zayn was in the role sometimes too.
Zack Ryder, you know.
Yeah.
Bunch of different people.
Zack Ryder, Dolph Ziggler, Bad News Barrett, basically anybody who's jobbed in the last couple of years.
This is a Spartacus
fit into the goddamn bunny costume because they're not going to spring for three or four of them.
Yeah. This is like a Spartacus situation where no one's really willing to say they're Spartacus, but they eventually do.
I am Spartacus. Hey, konnichiwa to Nick Diddy. He's in the chat room, by the way.
I was the bunny.
We need video of Omega being the bunny. Someone please find us the video of Omega being the bunny.
So it's pretty sad when we're spending 5 minutes on who the hell the bunny was and who's Adam, what's his name? Time to get a new gimmick. Get off TV for a month and reinvent yourself. You guys hear about Lisa Marie Verone? Her husband doing some weirdo, doing some strange shit in the women's bathroom, and he had a gun.
No,
that's not the story.
That's not the story?
He wasn't doing...
Did we stop playing Cards Against Humanity again?
I don't know. Like, you sort of... Alright. That's not even...
Phrasing, what you... Tim. Phrasing.
Yeah. Read what you actually wrote.
Yeah, I know what I actually wrote. I don't even know what I say because I wasn't paying attention.
Clearly, you weren't paying attention.
Lisa Marie Verone, whatever, Tara, you know, former Victoria from WWE, is married, and she and her husband own a restaurant, and the other day there was a gun-toting 18-year-old who showed up and started doing some weird stuff around the lady's bathroom. Her husband subdued the kid. And discover that he had a gun, but then he finds out that the person.
Then she finds out. Anyway, basically, since Tim can't tell the story correctly, so that whole story happened and went on TMZ. So she finds out, Lisa Marie, Tara, Victoria, whatever you want to call her, that apparently the person who her husband was cheating on her with still works for the restaurant. Even though she was supposed to be fired. Drama?
Didn't she give up her stake in the restaurant recently, though?
No, she moved out to California because, you know, the cheating and all that fun stuff, so she moved away. And she's going to sell the restaurant. They're in the process of selling it. But he's still running the restaurant back in Chicago while she's out in California.
So guy is a douchebag, continues to be a douchebag afterwards. Okay, that's fine. And kid goes and does weird things in bathroom with gun, then gets subdued by husband of, oh, for fuck's sake, who cares? That is too bullshit and complex a story to care about.
It's just the story.
It's like, there's two separate stories going on here. Neither one makes fucking sense.
It's just amazing that the story, the gun story was amazing on its own. And then just the whole cheating aspect of it, she finds out on TMZ. Just seeing pictures.
Yeah, that happens. Like, you know, I've also seen, I've seen some really good ones of like, guy finds his wife on a dating website and then goes and fills her, I think it was a Lexus, a soft top Lexus with cow manure.
Yeah.
That was actually quite amusing. That was a YouTube video. If you want real stupidity, I can give you real stupidity. Comic book nerds up in arms over a fucking comic book cover.
Okay.
Oh God, which one this time?
Oh, I've.
Oh no, I know the one you're talking about.
Yeah, it's a DC's doing Joker Month in June, I think it is. And one of the comic covers has the Joker holding Batgirl captive, and a lot of people are up in arms saying, "Oh, it's indicative of a rape scene that doesn't actually exist," and blah blah blah. It's all a reference to a really good Joker story that the social justice mob have decided to get their knickers in a twist about again. That's real stupidity.
And it's all because she's crying in the shot. If there were no tears drawn in, no one would bat an eye.
Exactly. There's actually worse covers out of that month.
I think it's worse to actually look at that and see something that horrible than it is to have a legitimate gripe over something.
Yeah.
That's you wanting to see it.
Pretty much. So, let's continue down the line of stupidity and let's go about trademarking hand gestures.
So,
this segment is all about the stupidity of humanity, by the way, people.
Because God forbid a stable outside the WWE gets popular.
Yeah, I know. So, for those of us who are not Tim and actually going to actually report on this story, WWE has filed a trademark for the too sweet or click hand gesture that was made famous by the NWO and also, you know, the infamous Madison Square Garden incident between Triple H, X-Pac, Hall, and Nash. Why? Because the Bullet Club are doing it and the Bullet Club are over. I just fucking facepalmed when I heard this. it's like trying to trademark the term "you're fired," or I've actually seen people try and trademark the word "the." Like, seriously, it's like, why does WWE seem to think they need to trademark all this shit?
The network.
Can we just blow the network up?
No.
Why not?
Because the network's awesome.
Really?
Yeah.
I suppose I see it differently because I don't need the network. I have it all on a hard drive.
There's your problem.
see, blowing up Netflix, that would be an issue.
That would also be an issue.
Yeah.
That would also be an issue. And Omega's playing with his toy some more.
I'm only responding.
Now
do a whole show like this now.
Now, yeah. See, here's the problem with what's going on here. There's precedent for why this is so stupid, and its name is DDP.
And then DDP went out.
I'm looking over it.
Oh, I'm trying
okay,
to look at
okay. Okay, the original one was in December 2005. And it was against Jay-Z, who was using the hand gesture at the time. And Paige dropped the lawsuit after a settlement. Paige then filed another one in 2010 for a music duo using the hand gesture. And I do not have the results of that particular one.
How come?
because it's not listed on Wikipedia.
Should do better investigation.
Yeah, I'll... I only have so much time.
I know. You gotta get back to your buzzing. Speaking of buzzing, Wiz Khalifa was stoned on Raw. Apparently, supposedly. Maybe.
I can hear you.
I know. Wiz Khalifa stoned during Raw. Good, at least somebody was high during that shit.
Someone was having a good time, at least.
Yeah, pretty much. I know, it's like, okay, yeah, he was high while he did it. Good for him. He still made his money. He got one over on WWE. Congratulations.
He got his appearance fee.
Yep. Probably in weed.
Or he spent it on the said weed. Yeah, so, there you go. Before we move on, because I'm going to stall a minute, because Tim's trying to fix his microphone and shit. NXT this week. What'd you do to-
What happened in NXT this week? Why don't you tell me? As soon as he quits playing with his little vibrator.
did you inform him what it's actually-
No, I didn't. No, I didn't. Okay. So, Tim, So when I actually obtained this particular device, and Tim would actually have to know what the hell this thing looked like first.
I'm not sure I want to. Well, okay. Type in a link to a picture of it.
You're familiar with Doctor Who, Tim.
Doctor Who?
Shut yes. up.
I had to. Yes, I am familiar with Doctor Who. Who isn't?
Have you watched the latest seasons?
No.
Okay, Omega, you'll have to link.
I haven't watched Doctor Who for a little while.
Yeah, I'm looking for a decent link. Okay, hang on. Got it. No, I don't, because fucking links don't work.
Omega, go to the conversation from last night.
I don't have that open. I don't know how to get back to it this fast. Hang on. I'm in Google Image right now.
Oh my god. Anyway.
Since just looking for one that actually links. There we go. Okay, so that's what a sonic screwdriver looks like right now.
Just a minute. Give me 10 minutes for the computer to pull this up.
Crank it up.
No, don't worry. This one's, I didn't go more than 480 pixels.
Well, it doesn't matter.
I accounted for this.
Yeah. Okay, I was right. It looks like a fucking vibrator.
So, my mother has never seen Doctor Who. She has no idea what a sonic screwdriver is, but she did see this upon me obtaining it and wondered why I owned what she referred to as a torture vibrator. Because all she saw was the nub and the claw in the end.
Jeez. For those of you who are listening, we're talking about the 11th and 12th Doctor's current sonic screwdriver. Go and Google if need be. See now, when Omega told me that story last night, I told him that he should have just looked straight at his mum, no expression whatsoever, and say, I'm reviewing it for YouTube.
Thing is, I am gonna review this thing for YouTube.
I know, but that still makes it funny.
I don't think it would be YouTube, I think it would be another YouTube. Anyway, moving on.
Oh my goodness.
Are we ready to do the all-time greatest now, Tim?
Why don't we do the all-time greatest?
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoopsie freaking do!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
And for those who want to play along, go to WrestleTalkRadio.com and you can keep up to date on this, you know, the brackets and stuff. Since it's March Madness, we have brackets too. But ours will go longer than March Madness. Anyway.
That looks like a vibrator for Jedi Knights, I'm just saying.
The force is strong in it.
Yeah, well, keep it out of your mom's hands.
And it's so wrong, you can take this next two words really, really wrong. It's the jackhammer versus the GTS. It just worked out that way. Omega, go.
Yes. There's part of me that
too
never...
Busy trying to get, yeah, too busy trying to get that image out of his head now.
There's part of me that never liked the GTS. It's, and it's a hard move to use on a bigger guy. It's, you know, it's basically a knee to the head. They're just falling when they take it. So it hits a little bit harder, or it looks like it hits a little bit harder, but there's something about it that just never struck me as a good finisher, mostly because it's, sometimes it's hard to tell if it even made decent contact. It really depends on the person who's taking the move rather than delivering. Because the guy delivering just has to get the guy vaulted up over his head. The jackhammer, on the other hand, okay, it's a stalled vertical suplex into a power slam. Okay, it's a combination of two moves, but it's a combination of two, like, pure wrestling moves. And hit right, and it's one of the few moves Goldberg could use right. It actually did look like a proper finisher. So I would go with that.
Mace.
I don't know, both moves are pretty simple in their design. Both create a big impact. And I'm trying to think. I think Punk's hit it on Brock. Never hit it on Big Show. Whereas Goldberg has hit the jackhammer on the Big Show in the shortest stalled suplex of all time of 0.3 of a second.
But he never hit it on Brock, so you can't really use that as an example. He never jackhammered Brock.
True. I'm gonna go with the GTS because the theatrics in that are just better.
That was tough for you because it was Punk versus WCW.
Well, no, not really. Like, I didn't even really put that into a factor. It was more looking at the move itself. Both are very simple. In design, deliver a big impact. They're the same style of move. It just depends on the theatrics involved.
Okay. Tim, break the tie.
Well, you know, you gotta give the theatrics to the, GTS, but you gotta give the impactfulness, if you will, to the jackhammer. Do I want to pick theatrics or something that looks like it's gonna break you in half?
Make a decision, Tim.
Yeah, I gotta say the jackhammer.
So the jackhammer moves on. The chicken wing taking on the clover leaf. Mace.
Chicken wing. The chicken wing, it is something that you can actually use to knock somebody out, whereas the clover leaf just, it's like a halfway botched sharpshooter. So yeah, chicken wing. Now Mr. Bob Backlund can get the hell out of my room. Stop trying to kill me.
Omega.
Clover leaf. That's one of my favorite, that's among my favorite finishing holds. It's not so much a botched sharpshooter as a, it's more of a Boston crab with the legs tangled. Which immediately makes it look more effective than, say, the Walls of Jericho, which is just a fucking Boston crab. What is the point? There's something about that chicken wing I never liked. I know it's a legitimate hold, but it looks like the kind of hold a monkey might put on me if it dragged me to the ground.
Okay. Tim, break the tie again.
Which way do I want to go with this one? Well, it's not going to be a hard decision or a toss-up or a heads and tails flip for me on this one. I've been put in the chicken wing, damn it. Chicken wing.
Okay.
Chicken.
So the chicken wing and the jackhammer move on. Next week it's the top
wing.
Chicken wing. Anyway, next week on the show it's the top rope brainbuster against the crossface and the scorpion deathlock against The Sharpshooter.
No way! That's evil. Wasn't supposed to happen that soon.
It was. That's next week on the show.
Yay!
Now yeah. It's time for Quick Hits.
Quick Hits!
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits. Wow. That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them. Wow. Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
Tim, describe your day in one word.
Describe my day? Today?
Today.
In one word?
In one word.
That's not enough words.
Still, one word. Go.
Fuck off. No, I'm not telling you to fuck off. That's my day in one word.
Okay, I'll accept it since it was hyphenated.
Or if you don't want to accept it, assholes.
Okay. Maze, if you had...
Basically, I'm saying fuck off, assholes.
I heard you, Tim. Maze, if you had to have a cow or a pig, which would you take and why?
That's a tough one.
Is there any real purpose to having either, or is it just you get to... I have enough room to raise the animal, or do I just buy them outright?
Milk or bacon.
Just pick one. There's no strings attached, you're just picking one.
Okay, I'll pick a cow.
Why?
Milk.
Well, you get the milk first, and when the cow runs out of milk, you chop it up and make steak.
Okay. Omega, would you rather eat chocolate-flavored poop or eat poop-flavored chocolate?
You are horrible. Unfortunately, probably the poop-flavored chocolate, because at least that's an actual food, and at least flavor would not risk giving me God knows what kind of illness.
Okay.
And then at least if someone tells me, if I say something tastes like shit and someone calls me out on it and say, no, I actually do know.
Here's what shit tastes like. Tim, you're on a desert island with a beautiful woman or man. Would you rather they are top half fish or bottom half fish? And why?
I'm on a desert with a beautiful woman?
Mm-hmm.
And she's half fish.
Yes. So what, top half or bottom half fish?
Well, here's the conundrum. In all of these fairy tales and shit like that, when you got the mermaid, or for ladies they have the mermen, you know, the top half is always the male, the human part. And the top half is always really, really good looking and all this other stuff. But if you don't have the human anatomy in the lower half, you might have potential problems. However, the last thing I'd want to do is stare into a fish's face while I'm in, you know, because at least the human half could provide alternative measures. And this is just really overanalyzing the goddamn thing.
Yeah, you're actually really, really overanalyzing it.
So I would go human top half, female, of course, and then the bottom half could be the mermaid part, the fish part.
Okay. Way too much thought. Mace, what was the better WrestleMania entrance? The Hell in a Cell at WrestleMania 28 or the barbershop chair at WrestleMania 23?
The barbershop chair at WrestleMania 23, duh.
What, you didn't like the entrance at WrestleMania 28?
No.
Okay.
Plus, it's a barbershop chair. It's better than a piece of metal.
Barbershop chair for the win.
Okay. Damn right.
And Omega, this is the hardest question you would ever have. Okay? Mm-hmm. Would you rather have a side soup or side salad?
Can I get like a Darth Vader? No! Throw it in here.
There it was.
No!
That was actually kind of close. Kind of.
Yeah, it's a side soup.
Why?
I've never been a veggie person. I am firmly in the belief that if I climb this high on the evolutionary food chain, I shouldn't have to eat fucking shrubbery.
That's not food, it's what food eats.
You don't win friends with salad. You don't win friends with salad.
Alrighty then. Well, hey everybody. That happens to be another edition of WTR Sunday Night Rust Talk Radio for this week. Don't forget, next week we will be doing WTR Pick'em. And you never know, maybe there might be a prize up for grabs. And it's really simple to play along. All you got to do is tell us who you think is going to win that match that we pull up. And boom, it gets recorded, and then we'll tell you how you did. That being said, did you know that you can follow Wild Talk Radio on Twitter? At Wild Talk Radio. You can also connect with us on Facebook, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network, or facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yes.
You know what? Look for us on FaceTalk, too.
FaceTalk.
And we're on FaceTalk, yeah. And that new website, that's an amalgam of the two. It's MyFace.
Anyway, tomorrow night.
Never mind. Okay. Tomorrow night, right after Raw, it's right after Raw. It's the Raw post show.
It is 11:10 p.m. Eastern. We'll recap everything that happens on Monday Night Raw.
And let's see what happens on Tuesday, then Wednesday, this other stuff takes place. And then on Thursday, it's the multi-time award-winning The Rack.
Yeah, check out The Rack this Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll talk NXT, we'll talk SmackDown, we'll talk all the news you can possibly handle. It's The Rack. Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Go back and listen to our interview with the one and only artist extraordinaire, Rob Schomburg. Go to RackRadioShow.com. You can hear it there. You can hear it on WildTalkRadio.com. You can go to YouTube.com/WTRRack to subscribe to the YouTube channel, or you can follow the show on Twitter at Twitter.com/WTRTheRack and Facebook.com/WTRTheRack.
Yeah, Saturday night, midnight-ish, or as close as I can get it. It's another edition of Cigarette Butts on Bandanas.
Tune in this Saturday night for episode 375, The Weird, The Wacky, and The Unusual. You can go to cbradiolive.com, use the hashtag BlameRob when you follow at cbradiowtr on facebook.com/cigarettebuttsandbandanas.
Yeah, cool. Hey, of course, next Sunday night is another edition, like I told you earlier. Follow me on the Twitter machine. I am at Flames Forums. Also, guys interested in pre-ordering this amazing cookbook that's just awesome and it's going to be flying off the shelves, you can just email me at admin@wildtalkradio.com for details, and we'll get that taken care of. Mace is on the Twitter machines.
Yes, Mace is on the Twitter machines at the Macing. You can also find stuff that I do on the interwebs at youtube.com/WTR Games Garage, where you will find reviews, boring little vlogs that I do, and other crapola. I will tell you now, I have just been able to acquire a copy of Final Fantasy Type Zero and the Final Fantasy 15 demo direct from Square Enix themselves, so that'll be the next review coming out as soon as I get the stuff in my hands and I can start using it.
Before you send us to Omega, remember you can get us on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio to search at Wild Talk Radio Network. Now Omega can go.
Mm. Now Omega can go.
Ah, okay. So, for the social media, over on Facebook it is TJ Reviews. Over on Twitter it is TJ Omega. It's also TJ Omega over on YouTube. And the website for everything that isn't on YouTube is tjomega.org. And regardless of where you go, I'm going to get very, very, very busy soon.
He's actually going to stop making videos again.
No way. Wait.
Well, he has some sort of screwdriver that makes noise that he's going to review, so.
Ah, well, he better do a video about the the Darth Vader Jedi lightsaber vibrator.
Uh-huh.
Stay tuned to WildTalkRadio.com for all kinds of columns, blogs, and more as I decide to write some more.
It's a dead joke. Let it go.
Say goodbye, Tim.
Goodbye, Jim. I know a few ladies who are familiar with that noise. Stop it! WildTalkRadio.com.